This whole month, we are going to spend time talking about being thankful. Before I get into it, I do want to ask, Okay. I didn't know if the TV was on or not, sorry. But we're going to spend time talking about being thankful. And in order to be thankful, remember, this is God's will for us. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, Paul said it this way. He said that, obviously he talked about that we are to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and that we are to be thankful because this is the will of God for us. So just as important as reading our Bibles, just as important as worshiping, just as important as giving, we've got to have an attitude of being thankful. And I know it may be cheesy to because it all rhymes, but to call it the attitude of gratitude, but really, it is what it is. It's a mindset. And you'll recall in Romans chapter 12 that Paul said that we should renew our minds, that we should transform, and we do that by renewing our minds through the Word and through the things that God wants us to do. And I've challenged us as a congregation to spend at least one of your prayers a week not asking God, not pleading with God, not asking God for anything, but thanking Him for everything. And if we can do that, what it does is it puts us in a mindset that will remind us of all the blessings we have. Joseph's done a great job picking out songs today, talking about counting our many blessings. And I know that Thanksgiving is coming up, but I didn't want to just do a one Sunday sermon on the importance of being thankful because I believe it is so important. As Christians, as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ. The 100th Psalm was written for the people of Israel. God said to them, actually, when you come into the promised land and settle down in your homes and you have plenty to eat, don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness and brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. But as we study the Old Testament, God told them, when your bellies are full and your, as we would say, our pantries are full, when you've got roof over your head, when you've got all these things, do not forget me. And so as we study through that and we read through that, we see it didn't take very long, what, for them to forget that it was God. You know, we talk about, and Bill, you did a great job reminding us and even pointing us and making us all think about Scripture and the harmonization of prophecy and Jesus Christ. In fact, just as an aside, some of the most chilling moments that I read in Scripture is when Jesus says, you know, he's talking about prophecy and he says, I am He. You know, it just reminds us of the importance of how God's plan has always worked. But, you know, we talk about the Lord's Supper and why do we do it every Sunday? Because they did it on Sunday and every Sunday. But when I say they, being the first century church. But we also do it because why? We need to remember Him. Lest we forget, right? That's what God said to Israel, lest you forget. But it didn't take long for them to forget, just like it doesn't take long for us to forget. You know, I don't know God's mind, and you don't know God's mind. His mind is so much more complex than ours. But just maybe, right? Just maybe, not only was he thinking about Israel, but maybe he was thinking about us when Psalm 100 was penned. So what I want us to do together to remind us today is turn to Psalm 100. And I want us to read this psalm together. And then we're going to draw our lesson straight from this psalm. Psalm 100, beginning in verse 1, make a joyful noise, or make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us,
and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And the truth endures to all generations. The reason I brought up, maybe he didn't just think about Israel, maybe he was thinking about us, is that last line there. His truth endures to all generations. We are those generations. We are the ones that are generations that has been that has transpired throughout time. We are here today at the close of 2023, right? We're at the close of this year. A year that we've been challenged to know better the truth, to allow the Word to light our path and be a lamp. We are the ones who this Psalm 100 today, we need to think about how it applies to our life. Again, I know it was written Old Testament. I know we're bound by the new law. But at the end of the day, those thoughts in this psalm are exactly who we as Christians should be today. I think there is a real danger of determining our thanksgiving on the basis of how much we have. You see, a lot of times when we're thankful for our house and we're thankful for some money in the bank and we're thankful for this and we're thankful for that, we're thankful for the food. Hear me out, I think we should do that. But the question is, do I have enough food to gorge myself? Do I have money in the bank? Am I healthy? Oftentimes, we let these things determine whether or not we are thankful. And the reason I say gorge ourselves, think about how much food we have. Think about what's in our pantry. Think about what's in our refrigerator. Think about what we throw away. Think about what we dispose of. You know, there's a lot of things that we have, and sometimes oftentimes we base our thankfulness on what we have. Now hear me out. The reality is that all of these things may change at any time. The job may go away. The extra money, because of a rising economy and rising everything else, may be gone. It may be gone. Maybe there's something that causes us to not be able to have as much food. Maybe somebody breaks in and steals it. The only thing we can be assured of throughout it all, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, is no one can take away our relationship with God. To me, this is what the 100th Psalm emphasizes. In fact, look at verse 1. In verse 1 it says, you'll find the word Lord there, right? In verse 2 you'll find the word Lord there. In verse 3 you'll find the word Lord there. In verse 4 it says, enter in His gates with thanksgiving. And in verse 5 you'll find the word Lord. The basis of our thanksgiving shouldn't be things. It should be the Lord. You see, if I am thankful for God, then all these other things take care of themselves. Isn't that what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? In Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, what things is He talking about there? If you read before it, it's food, it's clothing, it's shelter. All these things shall be added unto you. And so if all these things are added unto me, then He's going to take care of my food, He's going to take care of my clothing, He's going to take care of my shelter. Guess what? It all comes from God. It's about my relationship with God. And so as we read through this, I want to challenge us today to examine ourselves. In fact, if we're going to have an attitude of gratitude, I believe there are 5 demands that we can draw from Psalm 100. And here they are. Number 1,
If we're going to have a great attitude about Thanksgiving, then we've got to shout to the Lord. That goes back to Psalm 100, right? It talks about shouting to the Lord. In fact, the word shout there means to shout a war cry or alarm of battle. It's a shout of joy for the Lord that comes from the very depths of your being, or as if your lives depend on it. When they shouted in war times, they were coming, right? They were bringing an army of people to destroy and to conquer. And so they shout out with everything they had. Maybe it was an intimidation factor, whatever it was, but they were shouting and they knew that their lives depended on it. You see, that's the same mindset that the psalmist told us to shout to the Lord. If we are going to be faithful people, then we need to shout our love, our dedication, our prayer life, our Bible study. We need to shout it all out to the Lord. Has God solved the problem for you lately? We need to shout out to the Lord how thankful we are. Has He given you direction when you didn't know which way to go? Then let's shout out to the Lord. Maybe He's provided a blessing and you realize, hey, this blessing didn't come from the money I made. It came from God. And we need to shout out to the Lord. So from the depths of our being, we should proclaim praise to God. This is not just a thank you, Lord. It's got to mean something to us. And we've got to examine where we are. Do I fully appreciate God? Do I fully appreciate what He's done for me? And I'm not talking about food, clothing, and shelter. I know we have to have those things to survive. I'm talking about salvation. Today, do you know where we would be? We would be lost. We would be on a journey to hell. A journey to destruction. A journey to pain and suffering for all eternity. You know, the way it's designed, hell that is, it wasn't designed with you and me in mind. It was designed for these supernatural beings. And so it has to be a supernatural punishment, right? It was designed for Satan and his legion of demons. These fallen angels, if you will. So that's, you know, we go from a physical body to a spiritual body. That's heaven or hell, right? Eternity, either way, we're going to spend it one or the other. But you know, in hell, you think about a fleshly body. If it were to fall into fire, it would eventually burn up. And I don't mean to be grotesque with you, but it would eventually burn up and be consumed. But in hell, it will be in flames and never burn up. I remember one time, I guess it was after maybe Madeline was born, Michelle. No, maybe after, but I can't remember. One of the children, she had found out she had an allergic reaction to morphine. She had a C-section, and so they were giving her morphine for the pain, and she started itching and itching uncontrollably. But the problem is, and she could scratch and scratch and scratch and scratch, and it never satisfied the itch because it was more neurological itch. The body was there, the brain was saying, hey, you're itching, but she really wasn't. And I think about that in hell. You're burning up, but you're really not. And I bring all that up to say, that's where we would be if it were not for God. If it were not for Him being willing to send His Son to become a human, to be tempted in all points as we are, to resist every one of those temptations, to die a criminal's death, the cruelest death known to mankind, at least at that time, and I'd suggest to you, it'd be a very cruel death to die today. But He lives. He lives. And because He lives, we do not have to spend eternity in hell. And I know those things we know, but sometimes we got to express them to remind us how we should be shouting praise to the Lord.
Another point that we can draw from Psalm 100 is we need to serve the Lord with gladness.
I love that the psalmist was inspired to put the word gladness there. Because sometimes we can serve and we do it out of necessity. We do it out of, well, nobody else is going to do it. I guess I'll step up and do it, right? But we can't, if we're going to truly be thankful people, we can't have the mindset of, I've got to do this. It is a privilege and a joy to serve. If I'm truly in the relationship with God through Jesus Christ that I am, I'm walking in the light as He is in the light, then it ought to be a joy. We ought to be filled with gladness to serve our fellow man, our God. It's all about serving, folks. It's all about understanding we are not sitting on our own throne. We're sitting at the feet of God. He's on the throne. He is the Creator. He is the King. He is Jehovah. And Him alone do we bow down to. I was in Cracker Barrel one time. I've told this story a couple times over the years. And you know how Cracker Barrel is. It is, I mean, it's a kid's, I got to touch everything, and then it's the parents' stress because they are touching everything. And it's got stuff everywhere, and you're like, I don't want to buy any of it, so don't touch it, right? And so anyhow, Bo, I guess, was a little fella, and maybe Madeline was there too, but I was trying to corral them or whatever, and all of a sudden, we spilled a whole thing of water. And so I feel terrible now. And so I asked the fella there that was one of the, I guess, bus boys or something like that. Maybe he's a waiter. I said, hey, man, do you have a mop and something that I can mop this up? He said, yeah, I'll be right back. And so I'm trying to stand there and everything else. And he comes back and he starts mopping up. I said, whoa, man. And then let me do that. He said, no, sir. He says, this is my duty. You see, he was a servant. But he was willing to clean up my mess. It's that mindset when we understand as Christians that it's just who we are. The prodigal son, he was so selfish. He said, give me mine. And by the way, it wasn't his to begin with. It was his father's. But you know what the father did? He said, okay. And he gave him his inheritance. And so you know how the story goes. Luke 15, he went away and he wasted it. The Bible says on prodigal living. What does that mean? It means worldly living. Sinful living. He wasted it. Maybe he gambled it away. Maybe he spent it on alcohol. Maybe he spent it on women. Maybe he spent it on all kinds of things that didn't glorify God. And that's exactly what he did. And then he found out, hey, I'm broke. And all the people that probably wanted to hang out with me because I had money, they don't want to hang out with me anymore. And so he went and he joined himself. He became a member of that land. And then he found this farmer who farmed pigs. And he went out and he got in a pig's pen. And he was so hungry. And by the way, pigs, and I love bacon just as much as you do, but pigs eat anything. They really are not, they don't care what, they're disgusting, if you really. And so what the farmer would give him is just all these scraps and all this junk that he's just going to throw out, and the pigs are just loving it. This man was so hungry that he would have gladly filled his belly with that slop. But I love that Jesus said it this way and it was recorded this way. While he was in the middle of slop, while he was in the middle of pigs, and while he was in the middle of a pig pen, he came to himself.
Don't miss this next part. He didn't come to himself and say, you know, I'm going home. I'm going to beg my Father for forgiveness, and He's going to forgive me, and I'm going to get my bed back. I'm going to get my room back. In other words, I'm going to get my throne back. That's not what He said. I'm going home and begging my Father to make me a servant. You see, sometimes we have to have a pig pen moment. We have to hit that moment when we realize it's not about me. It's not about you. Behind that wall is water. And when I go down in that water, it quit being about me. It's about Him. It's about the kingdom. And so today, if I'm going to have a thankful attitude, then I am going to serve, and I'm going to serve with gladness. Thirdly, this morning, we've got to sing in His presence. Why is that important? Well, as we sing, there's some things that really matter. There's some things in life that we miss out on because we don't have that song maybe on our hearts. And let me try to explain that to you a little bit better. You see, I'm not a good singer, but I try to sing out. I try to sing out, and you know, I might have people turn and look at me like, "What are you doing? That something's dying over there." I don't know, but I'm going to try to sing out. Why? Because I want to worship with these words. But then there are other times I'm singing other songs. I don't think I've ever just, because I'm not a good, now some of y'all are great singers and y'all just want to sing all the time, you know, because you, man, you just got it. And I applaud you for it. But those of us who don't have it, we usually don't sing when we're feeling down. We usually don't sing when we're feeling ungrateful or whatever. When we're just down in the dumps and we're throwing our own pity party, I'm not singing out. I don't want to hear myself sing that much. You see, people sing, this is what a study that I read said, singing helps you feel more positive. People studied this, and they studied the mind, and they studied all this in the psychological way, and they said it helps you feel more positive. They said singing can help you express yourself. That's why people sing. People sing because singing can bring you peace. People sing because singing brings people together. People sing because singing is therapeutic. And listen, I don't know that I disagree with any of those. But I don't need a study of the mind to know the importance of why God wants us to sing. Because we got a study in the Bible that commands us to do it. There are four reasons, biblically, that I want to give you today of why we need to come into His presence singing. Number one, when you sing, you obey. In fact, Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That was not a maybe you need to do this. That was a direct command. So when I sing, it pleases God because I'm obeying. When I come into His presence, I need to sing. If I'm going to be a thankful person, have this attitude of gratitude, I need to be willing to sing to God. Secondly, biblically, when you sing, you dig deep roots in the Word. Colossians 3:16 again, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I love what Bill said about the Psalms today. Wasn't that a beautiful point that he made, how they came together? And
the priest would repeat it or say it, and they would repeat it, and they knew which song it was or what have you. Most of them come from the Psalms. You know, when David was out in letting the sheep do graze and wander and roam and do all those things before he gathered them all up, I'm sure he was out practicing with a sling and rock. That's pretty important for him in life, right? But he was also writing songs. And most of the Psalms come from David. And so as we sing these songs, you know what David was doing? He was basing it on his knowledge of God. And there's so much importance of us knowing God. How do you know God? Through His Word. Thirdly, when you sing, you build others up biblically. In Colossians 3, 13 through 16, again, I appreciate Harrison. He read that to us earlier, 15 and 16. This is 13 through 16. The exhortation to sing comes on the heels of bearing with one another. That's verse 13, the first part of that. Of forgiving one another. That's the second part of 13. Of putting on love, verse 14. Being at peace as one united body of Christ, verse 15. And teaching God's Word to another in verse 16. Our singing helps build others up. And then finally, biblically, when you sing, you glorify God. Ephesians 5:19 says, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. You see, it is to Him and about Him is the reason we sing. That's why Psalm 100, in connection with entering into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, He said, come before His presence singing. But that's not all. If you're following along in the verse, you see the next part. If we want to have this attitude of gratitude and we want to be thankful people because it is God's will for us to be that way, then we need to know the Lord. We need to know that He is God. You see, I've said this several times today and I've said it in a lot of sermons this year and over the years. We are not God. No matter how much the world tells you, and again, I use Burger King a lot, and I don't have anything against Burger King. Okay, you want your Whopper, go eat your Whopper. But their catchy little jingle is "Have It Your Way," and then they sing all that, and in the end of it, they say, "You rule, you rule," and that's society's mindset. We rule. Get yours. Get mine. I'm going to get even. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We do not rule. God does. No matter how much we get, as we say in the old days, on our high horse or on our own throne, we do not rule. God does. And I'm thankful for that. I am thankful that I'm not in control. That when I obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, I surrender control. It's not me. It's you. It's got to be none of me and all of you. You see, God took special time in making every one of us. He made you the way He wanted you to be. He made me the way He wanted me to be. I love babies. I love that we have babies here. I love that we have babies on the way. I hadn't got to hold Hannah's new baby, but I've seen pictures of her, and I've seen others holding her, my children holding her, and I look at that and I think, God made her so perfect. He knitted everything about her together. And He made her exactly the way He wants her to be. He made you exactly the way He wants you to be. He made me exactly the way He wants us to be. Now guess what? We foul that up a lot because we get on our own thrones. But as long as we keep God on the throne and we remove ourselves from it, He is still making us. He's not satisfied with the unfinished product. Maybe today He's not satisfied with our tempers. Maybe today He's not satisfied with our weak areas in our life. Maybe He's not satisfied with us giving in to temptation. I know He's not that. Maybe He's still working on us, right? I know He's still working on me. But at the end of the day, what I have to remember is that He is God. He is King. He is supreme. And as long as I keep that in perspective, going back to Psalm 100, I will always enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. But there's one more, and that's what I just said. When it's all said and done, what happens? We remember all these things. We enter with thanksgiving. Today, if somebody decides, hey, I'm going to enter into a saved relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it's the most beautiful moment of that person's life. Somebody walks the aisle. We take their confession. We walk up and see, a lot of times I have that first, I'm the first person that gets to greet them because I'm privileged to be the one that's immersing them under the water. And usually we hug and the first thing I say is, I'm so proud of you. Welcome to the family. You see, today, that person would leave here with so much thanksgiving in their heart. Just like you did. Just like I did. Because you know what we left in the water? Our past. All those things that will lead us to hell that we talked about earlier, they're gone. So naturally, we're thankful, right? But what happens after a while? Sometimes that wears off. Let me ask you this as we get ready to close out. If today, now you know me, I do not have this capability. But if today I said, hey, because you're here today and I'm proud of you, I'm going to write you a check for $1 million. Everybody that's here. I'm probably going to become your favorite person. You're probably going to remember my birthday. You're probably going to write me a Christmas card. You might even bake me some goodies or something. If somebody did that for us, we wouldn't forget. We would always be thankful. Well, folks, I do not have the capabilities. Now, I could write you a check for $1 million, but it would bounce higher than this building, okay? But I don't have the capability to do that. And if we found somebody that has the capability to do that, we might not find somebody that has the willingness to do that. But God's done so much more. He's done so much more than $1 million. He gave His Son to save our souls. To me, this is why you don't talk about Thanksgiving one time a year. There is so much to be thankful for. That God loves me. Make it personal. To me, there are so many times that I'm unlovable
There's so many times I'm like Paul when I know what's right to do, but I do what's wrong. And I truly have repentance in my heart and I plead with God, please forgive me. And guess what? He does every time. For that, we need to be grateful. We need to be thankful. So we need to enter our prayer lives with thanksgiving. We need to enter our worship with thanksgiving. We need to enter into love with thanksgiving. Enter into hope with thanksgiving. Enter into everything we do with thanksgiving because He is God. Today, I don't know where you stand spiritually, but God does. Today, maybe there is someone here who's ready to leave the past in the past and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It will be a great day, and I want you and I urge you and I plead with you. Do not leave here unsaved. Do not leave here unwashed. If you need to obey the gospel, let's do it today. But no matter where we are in our walks with God, can we not leave out of here today making things right, being right, so that we can live a life full of thanksgiving? I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the church. Most of all, I'm thankful for God who's provided His Son so that I can spend eternity with Him one day. Today, if you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.